Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
John Clay, Lexington Herald leader, joins us, covers Kentucky. John, thank you very much. There's a national championship game tonight. Not overshadowed, but man, the college basketball world's been rocked by what's going on with Calipari, Arkansas, and Kentucky. What can you tell me is the reaction in Lexington?
I think probably the main reaction is that it would be best for both parties that fans here become disenchanted with Cal over the last few years, the one NCAA tournament win over the last 4 years, and that, you know, a lot of them are looking one for a fresh start and chance for Cal to have a fresh start in Arkansas. So I think most of BBN sees it as a win-win for both sides.
Was the stress building to a point where it was maybe not Final Four or bust, but like Elite Eight, second weekend or bust for him this next year?
Yeah, for almost for this year. I mean, the fact that he had a $33 million buyout, I think is probably the only thing that kept him from there being a parting of the ways after the loss to Oakland. I mean, it was their second first-round loss to a high seed, 15-seed St. Peter's 2 years ago, 14th-seed Oakland this year. There would be definitely a lot of pressure on him for next year. The buyout only drops to $27 million next year, but there would definitely have been a lot of pressure on him next year to at least get out of the first weekend, which hasn't happened, here in a while.
So when the AD announced that Calipari was coming back, was that just a delay tactic, you think, that fans at that time went, oh, damn, he's back? Not that you don't want him back. At the same time, like you said, it's kind of become a little bit of the friction.
No, I mean, I think, I don't think Kentucky was ever going to pay the $33 million buyout to get rid of Cal. And I think most people accepted the fact that Cal was going to be back for next year. They did a joint interview on a TV show in which UK actually has a hand in producing on a local nightly during the week show on a local television station. This thing kind of came out of the blue. The first I heard of it was yesterday afternoon. I got a call from my friend Bob Holt there in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. He's covered Arkansas for a long time. And Bob said there was a lot of momentum there, that this was actually going to be a serious thing, and that John Tyson, who was a friend of Calipari's, was offering millions for Cal to come to Arkansas and millions of dollars in support, you know, for NIL money and so forth. And when Bob called and told me that, you know, Bob knows as much as anybody about Arkansas athletics, started to take it seriously. Then as the day and night wore on, it was like at times you were hearing, no, it's not going to happen, it's a long shot, and then you hear other times that, you know, that, oh, well, it looks like it is serious, that it is going to happen. So, but before that, I think most everybody thought that Cal was going to be back next year, and really the focus was going to be on what players were going to return next year, what, if any, players were going to return, and would Cal make any changes on his coaching staff. So the fact that Cal's leaving for another job really didn't even appear on the radar until yesterday.
How much pressure was there for him to change from way he recruited the roster, which was filled with talent, to maybe becoming more involved in the transfer portal?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure. And Cal did a radio show, did his final radio show of the year the Monday after the loss to Oakland. And on that show, he said, we need to get older and we need to be more aggressive in the transfer portal, the way we construct our roster. He already has had five really top flight freshman recruits coming in for next year. But he basically said on that radio show that he knows that they want to get older. They're going to have to support those freshmen with more players out of the transfer portal. But he also said that their hands were kind of tied until they knew which players were coming back, which players were going to go to the NBA draft, that sort of thing. So I think Cal recognized that, but I think that that doesn't mean he was going to go off his strategy of, bringing in, guys who are basically one and done players to go on to the pros. I mean, that's the way Cal's operated basically since he's been here. And I don't see him even changing that when he goes to Arkansas, but we'll see how it plays out.
John, what do you think? I've seen a lot of comparisons to like the Jimbo Fisher leaving FSU for A&M and now this. I mean, that would be on the negative side of it. But is there a part outside the transfer portal of, I mean, again, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, you're going to turn down all these guys who are NBA talents for maybe more veterans. It's hard to even say that. Or is there something about the modern game that he has not completely embraced or grasped yet?
He got a lot of criticism the last couple of years about, that Cal has never been one to really embrace the three-point shot. And there was a lot of talk the last few years that maybe the game, he had not changed with the game, that he didn't run a modern offense, that he hadn't changed his recruiting strategy to get more shooters, that sort of thing. But this team was a really good offensive team. They were a top 10 KenPom offensive team. They were third or fourth in the country in points per game. Where they were lacking this year was on defense. They did not have the type of defensive teams that Cal has had in the past. So I don't know how much of that was accurate. I think what was accurate, this goes back to, like I was talking about, his recruiting strategy. He went with older players for a couple of years there when he had Oscar Tshiebwe, mm-hmm. Jacob Toppin, those types of Sevier Wheeler, and he didn't have much success with that. They lost to St. Peter's in the first round, and last year they lost to Kansas State in the second round when they were number six seed. It was this year, I kept saying, he went back to the future. He had a number one recruiting class. He had like seven freshmen, highly regarded freshmen. He really built the roster around freshmen. He had a couple of veterans and transfer portal guys, and Antonio Reeves, who had an All-American type season, and Trey Mitchell, who was a valuable addition from West Virginia, who only came at the last minute after Bob Huggins got fired. But he relied heavily on freshmen, but it didn't work. I mean, as I think Jay Wright said after the game on television, I think he hit the nail on the head, that you just can't win that way, being so young anymore. And that's not going to change with the NIL. It's going to get even worse with the NIL, because you're going to see more players stay in college because they can get money instead of going to the G League or overseas to make money. So, Cal has never really given the indication here that he's going to move off that strategy. He talked like that he might going into next year, but I'm not sure everybody believed him that he was going to do that.
So let's then get to the next part. He's gone. Arkansas gets him. I've seen the list. We've seen the list. We put up the national people. We've discussed it. We also know that Scott Drew's a hot commodity, but he's also incredibly happy. You saw what Louisville wanted. That didn't work. Kentucky's a better job. I still don't think it's going to work, but what are your thoughts about Scott Drew and his name?
Well, I mean, for the last at least a couple of years here, the talk has been that Mitch Barnhart, the UK AD, holds Scott Drew in high regard. I think they work closely together. The COVID year when Mitch was the chairman of the selection committee, and if you remember, they did the whole tournament in Indianapolis, so there were a lot of logistics and that sort of thing, and that was the year that Baylor won the tournament. So Scott Drew's name has always been prominently mentioned here, as if who would follow Calipari, whether it was now or down the road. As you mentioned, that doesn't mean he's going to get the job. That doesn't mean that he would take the job if it was offered. But I certainly think that he's going to be in the mix. I think Mitch would at least talk to Scott and see if he had any interest in it, if it does come to that. But, I mean, right now all kinds of names are being thrown around. The ones you might expect. Danny Early, of course, because he's pretty much on top of the game right now. Billy Donovan's name is thrown around because Donovan, or Rick Pitino guy, was an assistant here a couple of times over the years. They've gone after, tried to hire Donovan, but he's turned them down when they had a coaching opening. What I've always heard is that Billy had no, from people around here who were still close to Billy or know Billy, that he has no real desire to return to the college game. On the other hand, he might be out of a job after this season with the Bulls. Who knows? So maybe he would be more willing to talk to a college than he was before. But obviously Nate Oates' name has come up here, but I think Oates has like an $18 million buyout.
Yep.
So, those are the usual suspects. There might be a dark horse out there or somebody we're not thinking of or naming, but I'm not sure who that would be. But I do think, because I do know that Mitch Barnhart holds Scott Drew in high regard, so I think he would definitely be in the mix.
I ask you this, Mark Pope, former player at Kentucky, would that be a dark horse because of his connections, or would that be enough to scratch the itch of the folks in Lexington?
Yeah, I don't know that he's Kentucky fans, they believe they should be able to get the highest coach out there. And that Kentucky should swing for the fences for the highest coach. I'm not sure Mark quite fits that. I think Mark is a really good coach, really good young up-and-coming coach. I know a lot of people here think very highly of Mark from his time when he played here with Rick Pitino. I think if Mark had made even a deep run into the NCAA tournament this year, deeper than what happened with BYU, although he had a really good season, his name would be prominently mentioned. But, yeah, right now I would definitely think he's in the dark horse category, or maybe even long shot category.
So you're just hanging around on a Sunday, right, just kind of watching whatever. Can you kind of take us through what happens with you when you see we think Wes Moore out of Arkansas reports the Calipari interest?
Well, I mean, I was watching the women's championship game when Bob Holt alerted me. Yeah, alerted me to what was going on. And then after that, our basketball beat writer, Ben Roberts, who covers UK basketball, we were talking back and forth and, alerted him that, Bob wanted to talk to him about what we were hearing on this end. We hadn't heard really much of anything about Arkansas, at that point. Like I said, when Bob first brought it up to me, I think I told Bob, I can see that happening. But then when Bob started talking about John Tyson and their influence, and I know that Cal has been friends with John Tyson for years. Cal loves the corporate business world. He's always been close and cultivated relationships with guys like John Tyson. He was that way in Memphis with the Smith family, the head of Federal Express. He's been that way here with Joe Kraft, who's a prominent coal person in the state of Kentucky. He's the big donor to UK Athletics. So that when he started talking about John Tyson, that sort of got my interest that, hey, there might actually be something to that. But like I said, through the day, it was kind of, you know, up and down. You heard from people, no, it's they're just talking. It's not going to amount to anything. And then you start hearing from people, hey, this could amount to something, and this may be a something that would be a win-win for both parties. And I think Cal does. Cal knows that the fans have been, the large section of the fan base have been frustrated with what's happened in the last few years, and he's been come under more criticism. So, I think he's had his ear to the ground on that, so I think he knows that that could be part of it too.
John, you've been covering this program for a while. Did you ever think you would see an amicable parting of the ways between Kentucky and a coach? I mean, going back to the football side and Bear Bryant, that's never really been the case there.
No, well, I mean, it's fair. It's a little it's similar, but not totally similar to the way Tubby Smith left. Mm-hmm. Smith won a national championship in 1998, but he never got back to the Final Four after that. So it's different from Cal, because Cal won the title in 2012, but it was back in the Final Four in 14 and 15. Tubby had a couple of really down years towards the end. They did make the NCAA tournament, but they were bounced out early. There were pressure on Tubby to make changes on his staff. We also had to figure in Saul Smith. His son was the point guard. A lot of people didn't think he was a Kentucky quality point guard. Tubby got a lot of criticism over that. And all of a sudden he left to go to Minnesota. So this is kind of similar to that, but I think Cal's been far more successful than Tubby was. And Cal's a different personality. That's another thing that features it too. Cal, you know, Cal's kind of an over the top personality. And when he was, when they were winning, the fans really loved that. They loved Cal's gloating and the way Cal, you know, we are college basketball and we're the gold standard. They ate that stuff up. But now over the last few years, when they're not winning as much, some of that has fallen flat. And his message, his sales pitch has lost some credibility with the fans. So I think it's where Tubby, the fan base loved Tubby because he was such a nice guy. But they didn't like Tubby's results. So, and that from the on the court standpoint, it's kind of the same. But from a personality standpoint, it's not the same between Tubby Smith's exit and Calipari's exit. Although we haven't heard anything official from either Arkansas or Kentucky, but from everything we hear, it's, you know, they're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But we have not heard anything official.
What is the NIL setup for Kentucky in men's basketball? Is it whatever they want it to be?
No, I don't think it's what it wanted to be, and I think that has been maybe some friction between Cal and the administration. Mitch Barnhart has not been a big fan of NIL. He's kind of come around here and lately about they're trying to beef up their NIL, especially on the football side. You know, I think they've done fine in basketball, but I think they feel like they could be doing better on NIL in basketball. That's another thing where I could see where Cal would see Arkansas attractive if those reports about getting $5 to $6 million in NIL money annually would be attractive to Cal as well. So that, you know, that's been a point of criticism of the administration here, that they have not adapted fast enough to the new landscape with NIL. They're playing catch up with some of these other schools. And so it wouldn't surprise me if that figured into Cal's decision to leave as well.
What will be a bigger headline? And I don't know what it was today, and I know a lot of things have gone online, the newspaper business, but what you do with that newspaper has been around a long time. What was the headline this morning? Was it Calipari? And if it wasn't today or was, will tomorrow be like 3-inch headlines?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Everything happened too late to make it into the Monday edition, to the Monday print edition. But like you mentioned, we've been on, you know, tons of stories online on Kentucky.com, and in the print edition tomorrow, you know, right there with the solar eclipse will be the, will be the Calipari story, and about, you know, that looks like he's going to Arkansas. I mean, a lot of people here have moved on to what you guys were talking about. Who is the next coach going to be? Talk about the solar eclipse. A friend of mine this morning said to me, he said, the solar eclipse and Cal leaving for Arkansas on the same day, that might signal the end of time. So I said, well, maybe it'll go dark, and then when it comes back light again, Cal will already be in Fayetteville. So who knows what'll happen there.
Your column, you can have him, why John Calipari's exit from Kentucky is best for both parties. You brought that up earlier. What was the reaction on the column?
I think most people agree with that. Like I said earlier on, I think most people, Kentucky fans, see it as a win-win. You know, Joe B. Hall, who was the coach of Kentucky, and I mentioned this in the column for years, the late Joe B. Hall. Joe said that the kind of the expiration date on a coach at Kentucky is 10 years. After 10 years, the people get tired of the with the coach. They're ready to move on to something new. Cal State for 15 years, even with Cal's over-the-top personality. And so I think Joe B. might have been, I think he was pretty close to hitting the nail on the head there. I think this is the type of job, because you're definitely in a fishbowl. There are a lot of expectations. Then maybe 10 years, by the time 10 years has gone by, both sides are ready for a change. And I think maybe that's what we're seeing here.
Hey, man, thank you, John, for jumping on with us. I know it's been a hectic, 24 hours or more, and it will continue to be that way. Good luck with the coaching search. Leave Scott Drew alone. We thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys, for having me on.
John Clay with us, Kentucky.com.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.